views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
I do like that there were two finales happening almost simultaneously, that they were the furthest apart that they possibly could be. You have like the teen girl mirroring like growing up and what it is to become a woman, also what it is to become a superhero story of Ms. Marvel. And then The Boys, season three, where a dude fucks an octopus. Like, that's the contrast that we're dealing with.
It's like Ms. Marvel is like Starlight before she joined, and you're like all this hope, and The Boys is the reality after you join it.
Like Starlight was next door neighbors to Ms. Marvel, and they weren't able to play with each other because their religions clashed. Mostly Starlight's mom.
Definitely.
And then they grew up, and then Starlight has to deal with like sexual assault and murder.
That's a very special episode of Ms. Marvel. So,
and Ms. Marvel just has to deal with the Jin being positively shown on screen, which is a very weird choice for that culturally. But
so you're saying we might have a crossover between?
Yes, that's what I'm saying is the Ms. Marvel Boys crossover.
Finally.
Holy shit! Could you even imagine?
Nah, I don't think Disney would want
to. I would love literally any Marvel character to show up in the Boys universe. Like, you get, like, Falcon showing up, just, like, some good quips. He's a positive energy dude, just hanging out. And then he meets A-Train, and A-Train's just like, dude, you got to shut up about that shit. Like,
yeah. No, I want Ant-Man to run into whoever it was in the first episode. And the guy's like, look, if you ever get crazy, make sure you take your allergy medicine, all right? Like, just don't fucking sneeze.
Yeah.
Or it might be that Paul Rudd is like, dude, they were trying to make me do the same thing with this dude named Thanos. And I was like, no way. Not doing it.
Remember when that was the theory of how they're going to win, is that Ant-Man's going to go up Thanos' asshole? Yep.
To the point, there is a Avengers Experience ride, like 3D ride, where you have moments where different Avengers are talking about stuff, Ant-Man actually references.
He does.
The in the butt Thanos.
I didn't know where you're going with that. If the ride's like, and then all of a sudden you turn into Ant-Man on the ride and you're going up.
You're inside Thanos' purple butthole. Yeah.
That ride would sell out every time.
That's a Six Flags ride.
Yeah. It's gone from purple to darker purple.
It's actually Snagglepuss. It's his butthole.
And it turns out you're in Grimace the whole time.
Yeah, it was Grimace. It's the new edgy McDonald's playground for kids.
Squeeze through, kids.
Inside Grimace's asshole. No. The ball pit, totally different.
Yep. Oh, man.
Situation there. But we are talking about season 3 of The Boys. This is a series, hopefully you're familiar if you're listening to this episode, that is definitely one-upping itself every season that it's coming out with.
Seriously,
more,
man.
Fucked up-itude in these seasons. The funny thing is, though, that even though it is one-upping itself, it's still not hitting the level that the books do as far as how they're getting close.
It's close.
But just, they're still not quite there.
There's some stuff I don't think they could take from the books and put in there.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit, but not that much, because at this point, most of the books plots are already kind of covered or completely misdirected into, like, they don't matter anymore. And I want to talk about that a little bit, but this is kind of its own animal at this point, inspired by the comics by season 3. And I think that's the big difference between season 2 and season 3. Season 3 is taking elements like Herogasm from the comics, but the plot is pretty much all Brave New World
in the
season. So,
and your staples are, you know, obviously Butcher and Homelander. And then, I mean, their beats are almost the same from the comic. And then a lot of the other characters have kind of moved around. So.
Yeah, and they've got their different kind of story arcs, really. I mean, the girl alone, her story arc is totally different.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to get into that in this episode. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Geeks Under the Influence, All Things The Boys Season 3. Welcome! Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, Oh, man, I've been looking forward to this episode so much. The season ended a couple weeks ago, but because of scheduling, because everything is coming out at the same fucking time this time of year.
It's the summer. Mm-hmm.
That we had to wait a couple weeks to record this episode. So I'm so happy to be able to have a chance to sit down and talk about how depraved this show is and how much I just assume the writer's room is Seth Rogen just laughing constantly as people are pitching the most depraved shit humanly possible, and they end up with the least depraved version on the screen, which is still pretty bad.
Yeah.
But to talk about this, we've got the four, and as opposed to the seven, to break down the characters from the boys. To my left, regular panelist on GUI and pop culture historian, maybe to a degree.
Yeah.
Let's talk pop.net. Tori Sipe is here.
Hello, everyone. I'm back.
You are not just a historian for the Backstreet Boys, but also Back to the Future. Literally anything with that.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. NSYNC. Sorry, I misspoke.
Whoa.
This is, wow. I'm leaving. I can't believe this treason.
I know you're joking, but how good a radio would that be if you just got up and walked out right now and just waited outside until we were done?
I'm too comfortable to get out of my seat. So.
But no, I'm sorry. NSYNC.
Yeah.
I misspoke.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
Okay. She'll go bye 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 if you keep doing that.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go. That's correct. It's okay.
Tori, mm-hmm. not just 90s boy bands, but also mm-hmm. a lot of 80s and 90s pop culture and superhero stuff as well. Mm-hmm. So happy to have you on.
Thank you.
And a first timer in person here from the, I think, mockumentaries episode you were on during the pandemic era mm-hmm. where we were doing remotes.
That was one of the only, that was the best Zoom meeting I had the entire pandemic.
Instead of people realizing you can't stand up if you're not wearing pants on a Zoom meeting, this is one where it's encouraged from GUI. But no, in person, in studio for the first time for a GUI episode, we got Jesse Jarvis here.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Comedian extraordinaire.
GUI exclusive.
GUI guest spots. then taking the seat of co-host on this episode, Stephen was unable to make it for this episode. We've got a very well-read on the boys co-host for this episode. Read all the comics, as I have as well.
Yes.
And big fan of the series as well. We got the gentleman that is, I think, on every episode of every show on the network, Fuck You Hunter's here.
What's up, bitches? I'm trying to, but not there yet. So.
Not quite there yet. Yeah. Regular here from the Mouths of Madness and Beautiful Disasters as well. So.
Yeah. I kind of want to always put my foot in, if when we setting the scheduling for the boys episodes, because it's one of my favorite shows, one of my favorite comics.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. It's just pleases every time.
It's hard not to get you on episodes because you have a pretty versatile geekdom. You have a lot of different geekdoms. So when this thing comes up, Hunter'd be good. Fuck. No, I've been on the last two.
I know. Sometimes I'd be like, no, Scotty, no, Groot, you take this one. All right.
Yeah. So it's this one, though, specifically. I know how big a fan of the boys you are. It made sense for you to be on this episode. So
fuck yeah.
Happy to have you as a co-host on here.
And the last one speaking, our Homelander to us four.
No.
Yeah, I love giving you the worst person there.
No.
Mike the Hobbit Bickett. So.
Yeah, not the Homelander. There's so much that is not me in the Homelander.
Well, he's in charge at the end, so, you know.
I think the only thing is my, weird obsession with, breast milk. I think is the only thing that share with...
You got too much of a beard for us to see if that, you have that shit-eating mm-hmm. grin, so...
See, that's the thing. You would know if I had a weird breast milk obsession because it'd be, dried
you'd be like,
into my beard. What?
Before we record, can you, wash that shit out?
It's like your friend that's really into cocaine and just doesn't know to brush their nose.
has leaky nose.
After they go to, quote, take a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Starting off real strong on this episode. Mike the Hobbit, join us on GUIpodcast.com for links to this show and the other shows on the network. Follow us on social media, rate, review, subscribe, all that cool shit that you do for shows. And let's get into The Boys Season 3. So
bam.
When we last saw our fateful heroes and the boys, and anti-heroes, we've got this weird position where Homelander has to play nice because he was fucking a Nazi.
Whoops.
You know, that old story.
But it wasn't a mystery. I mean, she kind of had to come out, and he just was like, I'm already fucking her, so she doesn't break when I fuck her, so I'll kind of just disregard the Nazi shit.
I think I just really loved it whenever they were fucking, and also like in this season when she's like giving him the hand job and she's like the right, and he's like, will you fucking stop talking about that? Like, he's like fine with her like mutilated like corpse like jerking him off. He's like, ugh, will you stop it with the Nazi shit?
Like, even the bad guy is like, all right, that's too much.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, when the bad guy is just like, but the thing is, he's not anti-Nazi either. He's like, no, it's cool. It's cool if that's what you're into. It's like how your uncles talk about homosexuality, where it's like,
yeah,
if that's what you're into, that's fine. I just don't want to see it. Like, can you just like keep it to yourself? Mm-hmm. It's totally fine.
If the approval rating for being a Nazi was way up there, Homelander would be a Nazi. That's all that matters is what does the general public like the most? And that's what he's going to do.
Because it's not that he's not racist, because he's definitely racist, but he's like racist against like every, like anybody besides him. Like,
yeah. Yeah. He's better. There is no master race. There's master him. And
master
that's
him.
It.
Yeah.
He is the master race.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And which you said in some version throughout pretty much the entire series.
And talking to Maeve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, man, the trajectory of that character has been really interesting to watch. Maeve from, and in the comics as well, there was a pretty good trajectory. Not quite the same, but
yeah,
where you see her being this person that is used to the just debauchery of herodom and resigned to it, and then gets to a point where she's really, really, truly putting her neck out in a real way to try to make this shit stop. The interesting part for me with this season is there was like a normality to Huey and Starlight in this, where he was working in the political sphere and she was doing her superhero shit, and they had like their shit down, where they had their 9-to-5s and they had all their, you know, all right, honey, see you later. And you could see that where the cracks started forming at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty interesting to watch.
Well, then once he got the fucking V, like, he kind of didn't give a shit.
Well, so both of y'all, like, as like y'all read, I never read the comics, so enlighten me. Like, all right, this season in particular, I just felt like it was hitting me on all of these notes. I don't know if it's just because of the way society's crumbling around us or whatever, but like, it was, some of the episodes were just so like the Blue Hawk A-Train thing.
Oh man.
I have not been that shaken by an episode of any series in a very long time. And I was like, is it just because I haven't read the comics and I don't know what to expect? Or is it like do those storylines have I'm completely naive to like the actual comics?
No, there's definitely some modernization that's happening from the comic books. I mean, the comics came out in what, like 2002, 2003, somewhere around that.
Yeah.
And so you're talking post 9/11 is what they're dealing with a lot of the satire at that time. And
well, it's kind of scary because like Ennis used kind of the Bush administration and kind of the politics, the fucking freedom fries and all that shit, kind of as context for some of that.
Sure.
And it just accidentally with the show rolled into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was literally watching Stranger Things as a palate cleanser. That's how much it was shaking.
Like, I'll take a multidimensional demon over this shit every day.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that I thought was really smart is you look at Homelander, that he's getting, you know, fence walkers that were not really that upset about Stormfront being a Nazi, and realizing that he can say whatever he wants, and having very much that Trumpish energy about portrayed things. That is definitely an animal from the show. That's not quite from the books, really. That he has that, like, oh, so I can just be a bigot? This is awesome.
It almost seems like the writers kind of said, you know, Homelander, it's following a lot of the same beats as Trump. I mean, come on.
I mean, they were literally taking a needle, just poking me at all of my nerve endings.
Oh,
it was so brilliant and made me so angry.
I mean, yeah, even when Starlight like recorded him and he's saying all that stuff and it's just like, hey, here's the evidence.
It's a deep fake and shit.
It's a fucking deep fake. And you're like, good God.
And something about the tail end of this series happening around the same time that the January 6th commission is going in, and they're showing video and audio of people being like, this definitely was a planned insurrection. Here's all the stuff that's coming out. People are like, nah.
Yeah. Nah.
It's just, there was this like reality meets fiction, like perfect storm that's happening that is so cringy and fucking upsetting at the same time.
Like, it's just like, I feel like it's so early on to be talking about like the last scene in the show, but like him fucking like killing that guy, the fucking like liberal dude, and everyone being like, and that shitty fucking stepfather.
Yeah.
And then everyone cheering. It just like, I wanted to like die. I was just like,
I mean,
it was so,
there's a quote from the former president bragging about how he could shoot somebody on, I believe,
a Fifth Avenue. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think they pretty much took that rule with it.
Season 4, like we've got season 4 of, I think it's season 4 of Handmaid's Tale that's coming out in the not too distant future. And then season 4 of The Boys. I think there's going to be just this time frame where like the fascist like symbolism of fiction sci-fi shows is like so close to reality that people are like, I might as well watch the news. Like, yeah. It's so, so real.
I think, is that why they started the whole like season off with like the exploding penis? Because you're
I think maybe like, so, like just to get you set up.
Like just a bit, this show's silly. And at the end, you're just like completely like heartbroken and like dead inside. Like,
well, because you did end season 2 on a pretty like hard, like mm-hmm. mom's dead and like, you know, the kid just pretty much killed his mom, and mm-hmm. there's all Butcher sees his only love dead and all this stuff, and then you want to go, how do we kind of get everybody back up? Penis destruction. There you go. Yep.
That's my favorite monster truck, actually.
Is penis destruction. Penis destruction. Yeah. Sunday.
I was just shook. Like, I just like, because I read about it and I was like, okay, like we'll see. And I was like, holy, like nothing can prepare you.
Gruesome.
Nothing can prepare you. There's only 2 outcomes. I thought, okay. Also, he goes in, dirty ass feet, coked up hands, like so unsanitary.
The
that guy's getting an STD for
day,
sure.
The day after, literally the day after that episode mm-hmm. comes out, I'm on Facebook and there's screenshots from inside the urethra, but because it's out of context, it's 100% passable on Facebook. Like, it's inside a dick.
I just love that there's a set designer that had to make just like, all right, so what are we doing today? All right, well, I got a challenge for you, all right? This is what we want. I love the fact that like materials are made to pretty much show
that's
that.
On a resume.
I know.
That's on someone's
resume.
So what
worked did you? Have you seen episode 1 of season 3 of The Boys? Now
that urethra is mine.
Yeah. I did that. Yeah. All that cushioning, yeah.
What workshop did you have to go to learn that? Or like
whoever did the inside of the penis asteroid monster from Star Wars taught the class to figure out how to do this one.
But when he just, and I like how he just went like swoop, like he just like slid in like very but I was like,
okay, he was going through a beaded curtain. Yeah, just kind of slithering
because you know that like the people are gonna walk in on him. I was like, okay, that's obvious, they're gonna walk in on him. But then I was like, all right, there's 2 outcomes here. Okay, 1, something's gonna happen, he's gonna get big and he's gonna explode him, which happened. And then the other one, I was like, oh, or he's gonna like make him come, and then he's just gonna like a slip and slide out. A little cum river.
And that's what's great about the show. Like, you don't know.
And then he's gonna get big, and he's just gonna have cum all over him. And I was just like, but then when he like was about to sneeze,
like
I was like,
silver
no.
surfer on semen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
semen surfer.
Just... No, that was saved for Mother's Milk later on in the season. Right?
Holy
yeah.
shit!
Yeah.
Like they, when that was happening, I thought, yeah, they're gonna do a version of this, but they went fully. They did not pull back at all on that.
I know we're kind of jumping all over the place, but the one thing that makes me sad that Lowdown can't be here is that Mother's Milk's reaction when he opens the door and the dude with the penis starts going, and he's like, get that fucking thing out of my face. I was like, that's fucking Lowdown.
That's
fucking Lowdown.
If
that would be literally what Lowdown would be like, get that fucking thing out of my face right fucking now. I was like, wow, like, Lowdown's our Mother's Milk.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
just for that part.
For that alone, yeah. I think everybody that saw that scene that hasn't been blasted with a bunch of cum started thinking to themselves, like, what? Because if you have, then you know your reaction. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you haven't been blasted in the face with a bunch of cum, Like, you start thinking to yourself, like, what, how, like, Mother's Milk reaction was actually very chill, considering, like, he was furious, but he was, like, quietly smoldering furious to start. Like, I don't know if I would have been that calm to start. I think I would have just started, like, burning people alive.
Well, it happens later on for them.
Yeah, though. Sure.
Yeah.
They definitely took a page out of Scary Movie 2 with that.
Oh yeah.
If you recall.
Was that 2 or 1?
It was 2 because they were in the haunting house.
Okay, because in 1, there's also a scene where, like, he explodes and,
oh, there's another one. Really? Because the second one, it was the guy from Malcolm in the Middle.
Holy shit.
And then, all
right, you know what?
Not Frankie Muniz, the older brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, the older brother.
Not Fast and the Furious 1 car owner, Frankie Muniz, but... But no, your older brother. But yeah, I want to see the bonus scenes from this season where they have the actor playing Mother's Milk getting like fucking prepped
take two.
And ready for the fucking gisplosion scene on Herogasm, where he's just being like talked to by the director, like, okay, look, we're going to try to get it in one shot so we don't have to do multiple shots. Like, you just make sure you're hitting your marks, make sure you get that reaction so we can get it one take, one out kind of thing. You're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's not actual cum. I'm sorry I said cum. It's not cum. And just trying to get him super stoked for it.
It was actually the Asian dressing from Applebee's, because I used to work for Applebee's. And back then it was called the Oriental dressing, which it might still be called that. I mean, it is Applebee's, but
yeah,
it was the exact consistency of cum.
Applebee's isn't on like the front of the list of like being progressive with the name changes and shit. No.
Because they're still blaming millennials for killing their business.
Yeah, they're like, millennials don't want to eat mediocre food for overpriced prices anymore.
What happened? Y'all liked chicken tenders years ago. Like, no, everybody has them now. So,
yeah, they have them, and they're actually like, you know, a decent sized chicken.
And you don't have to wait 50 minutes to get them. So,
without the risk of somebody just spitting your food because they're mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, with this season, the main focus is that. Huey is trying to get the boys and to do things legitimately. He's trying to get them to, instead of just vigilante style taking down these soups, he's trying to do it the political route, trying to create a culture where, you know, and it's working. It's like 40% down on accidents with superheroes and shit. It's working, except he's working for the head popper.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing, is this season seemed like just kind of everybody trying to get that foot in and take over. I mean, Homelander with whoever's in charge of Void at the time, and then her kind of also working with them, and everybody kind of angling of who's going to get to control this thing, and everybody's got secrets. Everybody's got shit that they want to keep, like, out of the public view.
But that's why this season is, I think they've always been kind of spicy with their political commentary with the boys, but this is definitely the spiciest, because all they're saying is, like, even the heroes that you're supporting are garbage, terrible people.
And
like,
they will sell out.
And they will sell out. They will fuck you over. They will fuck over America for...
Except for Nora. And, you know, he still got fucking killed, so...
That is the weirdest turn, is that one of the biggest surprises in the comics, and I think we can share this now.
Yeah, is it safe?
Yeah, it's safe now, because, like, the character's fucking dead now. But in the comics... Noir is actually a clone of Homelander that they got fucked up. Like, he's got like a fucked up face, but it's like a fucked up face of Homelander. And not only that, but that's who rapes the wife.
Yeah.
Is
and some of the fucked up shit that Homelander does, he still does fucked up shit, but some of the stuff that's kind of blamed on him is
clone. Black Noir. Yeah. So that's why in the comics, he's like, no, I didn't do that. I mean, like, I would admit to it because I don't give a fuck, but I didn't, like, rape her. I don't know what's going on. That was Black Noir, and that comes out later, is that it was somebody walked, I forget who walked in, somebody walked in and saw Homelander's face, but it was actually Black Noir that was doing it. And
yeah, so that was kind of interesting, because, you know, for 2 full seasons, they kept the mask on. No real indication. So,
and all the comic book characters are like, waiting for that reveal.
And then they're like, no, different person.
Totally different person. Totally remove that story arc.
The cartoon explaining of how Soldier Boy was fucking amazing. I just enjoyed the shit out of, because he doesn't say anything. And then you're like, oh man, there's got to be some deep, dark shit going on in that head. And it's like, hey there, and like these these animated creatures fucking explaining, everybody getting fucked up, and eventually
it's kind of Deadpool-y
a little bit. It really was.
I think it makes sense because he seemed like very, very traumatized. So he's just gonna think about little cartoon characters from when he was a kid.
Oh, they even talked that like they scooped some of his brain up, like when he got shot. This dude is like just functioning on 45% capacity at this point.
But I do love how that's explains how terrified he is of Soldier Boy when it's brought up that he's back, as he's like, I'm cutting this fucking tractor out. I'm getting the fuck out of Dodge. So
they mentioned that Soldier Boy's like stomach fucking beam thing wasn't a thing before, right? That was like a new power that he had.
Yeah. I think that was developed. They experimented on him while he was like,
okay.
Yeah.
So that's what
like
was
it's a trigger,
confusing
I believe.
To me is that Black Noir is just like, here's a guy that's strong. Like, that's literally all Soldier Boy's powers were before he got the
the extra powers. I think the way they're setting up is that he was kind of like a Manchurian Candidate kind of set up with, like, you're going to go, if you ever do get released, then you're going to fuck up places in America or people. So
sure.
It's how I kind of interpret it.
I don't, like, I got it more of that, like, PTSD thing where, you know, he's having panic attacks and he's, like, of the era where that's not a thing that exists.
I don't have shell shock. Yeah,
I'll to acknowledge you have feelings, like.
That was a, I mean, talk about also political conversation is that they're talking about the boomer generation where if you, there's so many people I know that have dealt with boomer relatives that are like, mental health issues aren't a real thing. Like just suck it up and deal with it.
Bingo.
Attitude.
And, my dad.
And the understanding of like, this is, it's not like this is new. It's that your generation ignored it to the point where you have detrimental ways of dealing with things that permanently scarred your children because of shit that you didn't deal with.
Yeah. You literally repressed it until it became a tumor that killed you. Like,
yeah.
That's what happened. Like to so many people's health is like, they never did anything.
That's what astounds me is the boomer through line of like, no, this is all new. Like depression is new. Panic attacks are new. Like all this stuff. And like, no. I grew up with you. Like I see all the, you just didn't do anything about it. You just kept it unchecked and dealt with really terrible coping mechanisms.
You have Soldier Boy that like literally is in denial and the trigger makes him murder a fuck ton of people.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, let's try this new thing called therapy and work it out. Cause you keep killing a shitload of people. I mean, like his intention at Herogasm was not to fucking kill everybody, but just two people. And couldn't keep that shit in control.
But like when he finally has like that penultimate moment with Homelander and you know basically Homelander's like daddy and I was like oh I know that like I called it from my way. He's just like I'm just so sorry I couldn't raise you because I wouldn't have raised you to be a fucking pussy. And
pussy,
I was like
yeah
I knew he was gonna say that.
You
like,
knew yeah you were just waiting for
I
that
I was waiting. I was like I know because yeah like he's so repressed and he's not gonna change and he just has that boomer like attitude whatever. So he's like you're a little fucking pussy.
I feel like what's the actor's name that does Homelander, like
I don't know, but he's amazing.
The first two seasons I thought he did a really good job. This season he went fucking next level because just that grin and that and you could just see him breaking down at points and just like and then losing it and just saying fuck it.
Yeah, like the scene where he's like kind of going all over like all his vulnerabilities and stuff, it's like it's like he was acting against himself in that scene, in the mirror scene, and it was just so impressive, just the facial twitches and like it was just really, really impressive. Like you're almost kind of rooting for him to like have a breakthrough a little bit, but
yeah, like the fact that I was like for like half a second during that mirror scene, just being like, oh my God, I kind of like feel some way about him. I'm like, oh no, wait, this is the same fucker that like murdered a whole plane full of people. Right. Like I just like took me back, but just like for like a split second, I was like, that's how good he was.
Just casually.
Like, I just like forgot about that. I was like, oh no, wait, hang on.
This isn't High Fidelity where he is a shitbag, but you can still kind of love him. Like,
yeah, no,
a different level of.
I will say his jaws seem to show emotion. Like I don't know what it was, but if his jaw was one way or another, like you were like, oh, people are about to get fucked up. And like Starlight's friend that supposedly was going to join the Seven, and it's like this weird pleasure he took. He's like, hey, I got something to show you. Hey, girlfriend, let me show you this. hey, you see, that used to be your friend. That mush, that pile of mush in costume, that was your friend. So I destroyed the shit out of him.
I just like, I knew that was coming, but the fact that it was happened like, so quickly, I was just like, holy shit.
He was so excited too. He was like, come on, I got something to show you.
You as a boy band fan, did that hit you a little deeper?
That's exactly what I was about to bring up.
He didn't deserve it. But it was a Christian boy band.
No, it's just as good as the real thing. Like, it's just as good as regular, you know? That was what my mom used to try to get me to do when she was like, no, you should listen to Christian rock. It's just as good as regular rock.
Striper's pretty good, all right? Striper's just as good as the Crew.
There was a Christian metal band that a friend of mine growing up was into called, I think they were called Deliverance. And they had a song.
They did not research that too well.
There was a song called like a Purgatory and Mustard Sandwich Hold the Baloney, because like the whole thing was that purgatory was bullshit is what they were trying to say in their song or something. I don't know. I bonded with my old roommate Crump about this.
Oh, God.
Like, Deliverance? Yeah, I had the fucking record, bro.
Holy shit. Again.
Very conservative.
Really
family.
Bad name for a band, because I'm sorry, when I hear Deliverance, I go one way and it's
banjo.
Yeah. Yep, banjo and getting fucked in the ass.
Surprisingly, no banjo in that metal band. Yeah.
Huh. Not fair.
You think that would be ironic.
Yeah, right.
Well, two notes, right? One, my favorite Christian rock CD was the Christian ska band, the Orange County Supertones.
Oh, yes! God.
That was a fun one.
Why do I know them?
Wait, were they on Tooth and Nail Records? Along with MXPX and Boris the Sprinkler.
I don't know if they hung out with Fat Mike or not, but, you know. But the other thing,
I'm probably going to say no. Like, I'm going to just venture a guess.
But no, the question I had was for Tori is like, all right, so the song that he did in the boy band song, I forgot what it was. Like, where did, like, was it solid boy band?
You know, honestly, music. It wasn't as good as Jensen Ackles singing that weirdo song from like that disco thing. It was just like,
oh, that looked like late era Johnny Cash from the 70s like, kind of vibe to it.
Flab Fly Boys, da 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 da. And he just keeps talking and talking. That's actually a TikTok sound. So good job, Jensen, for getting it on the little TikTok.
I love all the punches that this show is throwing. It's making fun of boy bands, but like everybody's getting it. Like the old boomers are getting it. The fucking zoomers are getting it. The millennials, Gen Xers are fully. This is definitely the camp of Gen X that is writing this. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can tell that it's got this like burn it all down energy that is definitely Gen X that is writing this fucking show. But nobody is safe. I love that the arc that we get with Soldier Boy is that his actual team is the one that sold him to the fucking Russians during the height of the fucking Cold War.
Yep.
Is
you had to be a pretty huge prick in order for that to happen.
Yeah. Be like, you know what? Fuck it. Send him to Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I gotta say, being a huge Supernatural fan, it was so nice to see Jensen Ackles on like, I'm not saying Supernatural is a fake show or anything, but just see like a more like serious.
Kind of sounds like you are
acting. No, I mean just see him in like a different light, like doing like a real like, because you know it's just like Jerry Padalecki's like, I'm a new Walker on CW. It's like, okay, good for you. Like I'd like to see Jensen do some actual like acting work. That's actually. I thought he was great.
I mean, you also see him in the My Bloody Valentine remake. You know, he's in that. Sure, so if you want some other acting, there you go. Yeah.
I think I'm not a Supernatural fan. I've tried, and it's just a little too Scooby-Doo for me. I can't fucking do it.
They had an episode where they were on Scooby-Doo.
Well, oh, no. Big surprise there. but I think Buffy did it better is all I'm saying. But they literally called each other the Scooby Gang, so... they had no misgivings about what they were, but it was a firefight, like Buffy versus Supernatural, just fucking bloodbath. But I would say that, and not being a fan of Supernatural, he fucking killed it as Soldier Boy. He did such a good job.
Yeah, he was really good. I have to say, like, really quick, I saw him, he was promoting The Boys on Seth Meyers, and it was definitely like his first like big talk show, because they never had them on like for Supernatural. And then like, he's like asking him about the Scooby-Doo episode, and it's like Seth Meyers did not understand like what that was about. He's like, so you were on Scooby-Doo? And I think he thought that like they were actually on an episode of Scooby-Doo, not that supernatural melded worlds with Scooby-Doo.
Oh, man.
And I was like, oh, that's so funny.
That's kind of my point.
But it's a lot.
He did do that.
Seth Meyers is actually a nerd. Like, he's talked openly about reading comic books, and he's into nerd shit.
He is.
So the fact that of the late night hosts,
he would know.
Like, he would know, and he's like, so you were... So did you do a voice on Scooby-Doo?
No, that's what he said. He was like, so wait, did you voice yourself on Scooby-Doo?
God.
But Jensen was so nice about it because he's like, oh, this guy doesn't know what the fuck Supernatural is. But it's okay. It's okay.
Well, there's always celebrity guests like playing themselves on Scooby-Doo. So maybe that's what he was thinking.
Yeah,
like,
but it's okay. But Harlem, I mean, I thought he was. Yeah, I thought he was great, though.
Yeah, Seth Meyers, like, I mean, you're no Harlem Globetrotters, but or Kiss, but you know.
But the acting and yeah, the guy that plays Homelander, and you just put it up on the screen, Anthony Starr.
Anthony Starr needs all the accolades.
I don't know, like, what, like, broke me the most, because when we were talking about, like, the things he did in the season, like, I completely forgot at the beginning how he made that girl herself, jump off the building. She was going to kill herself. He's going to save her.
He's like, oh, yeah, jump.
Just do it. Follow through. Do it. And then that was just, like, such a scary, like, moment. Like, you're just cringing that, watching.
I wouldn't say is necessarily triggering, but, like, like anybody that's dealt with like levels of depression and like any kind of suicidal ideation and stuff, you have this moment where she has a realization like, oh, I don't want to do this. And there's like almost like a relief, like, fuck, no, I don't want to die. And then there's like, no, you have to. Fuck, that hit like a level of like, whoa.
Yeah, that was a lot.
It's almost like murdering people just for fuck's sake is like his stress release, like his stress, you know, stress ball of like, all right, well, get that out of me and just get the guts off of me and shit. But like, that's his thing. Like, that's what calms down is murdering somebody weaker than him.
Yeah.
Like, he does it all. Like, I think it's season one, maybe it's season two, with the guys trying out the blind superhero. And he's just,
oh, God.
And just for no reason besides
the daredevil of
just being an asshole. Yeah. He's like, okay, well, tell me what you would do, and just destroys his eardrums. Like, there's no purpose for that besides just saying, yeah, fuck this guy. Like, and then he feels better. Just ruin somebody's world or kill them, and he feels better.
How does he die, though? Like, how, like, Maeve stuck a fucking, like, knitting needle. She basically pulled an Idle Hands, stuck a knitting needle through his brain, and he was like, look crazy for a second. And you're like, and he just pulls it out.
It's just a concussion for him, basically. Yeah.
Well, first off, great reference. Like, solid, like, top-notch, deep-cut reference. That's great.
Fucking Idle Hands.
But secondly, I'm interested to see if we have any kind of, like, long-standing effects from that in season four, where, like, he's mostly together, but just, like, Black Noir had half of his brain scooped up.
And... Or that mirror image of him is now unleashed. Like, that was it. Is that part of the brain that was kind of like, all right, calm the fuck down, we're not gonna lose, is now gone.
I mean, I think the final scene where
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, he just, like, rationally, he's like, no, not in public. And now he's just like, fuck it.
To end the first half before break, there was an interview with the creators that talked about that in the run of The Boys that they're doing, there will be a moment that is borderline apocalyptic that they're planning on doing. So things are going to, and I think it was season four that they were planning on that kind of story arc happening. So it's going to get pretty intense.
He suggested when Starlight's are like confronting him, he's like, I mean,
I'll burn the world down.
I don't fucking care. I'll destroy as much shit as possible. And she's like, oh shit. Like, okay. Like, that made her rethink. She's like, I got you, motherfucker. I got evidence. I got this. You're fucking going down. He's like, all right, well, then I'll just not give a shit and destroy as much as I can.
That's it. He's either a hero or he's going to be in control.
Yeah.
Like, and by any means necessary. So it truly fucking terrifying.
Yeah, because at that point, I mean, she seemed like she had the advantage till the realization, oh, wait, this guy can pretty much do what he's threatening.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh, God.
Yikes.
All right, we're going to take a breather so you can hear about some of the other shows on the network. When we come back, we're going to talk about what we're drinking, some sponsor stuff, and get back into the fucking psychotic.
Get into some fucking Butcher, man.
Butcher, and also we haven't talked much at all about Herogasm or The Deep or any of that stuff. So,
Oh, yeah.
Stay tuned.
Dive in.
Oh.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
In a world of blockbuster movies, there is another dimension.
The dimension of schlock cinema. Join us at Beautiful Disasters on a journey into the fringe territory of B-movie abandon.
We review the flicks that are forgotten or underappreciated to give them a proper place in the annals of celluloid history.
I'm the Groots.
F.U. Hunter.
Your guides at Beautiful Disasters. Come along with us for a fun ride.
May the schlock be with you.
In a world with too many reboots and remakes,
two men will stop at nothing to make it even worse.
Join Mike the Hobbit and Atandi as they play by their own rules while pitching new takes on some of your favorite and least favorite films and TV shows. What podcast would dare to bring this upon the world?
This is Smack My Pitch Up.
Hey guys, Scotty P here with Smash.
On your left.
And we are
the Geek Fathers.
That's right, bringing all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent.
So welcome to our world.
And as always, join us
or cry.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things The Boys Season 3. But before we continue on with that fucking cavalcade of diabolical debauchery,
yeah,
let's get into what really gives us the funds to be able to continue doing this show. First off, of course, is Amazon.com. It sucks. But guess what? Everybody uses it. I mean, it's one of those like devil you know situations where, I mean, in the current environment that we're in, where it's hard to get hold of, well, a lot of shit, sometimes you're bent over a barrel and you need to use Amazon. So in those rare situations where you have to use Amazon, just make sure you use the link at GUIpodcast.com. That way, you're buying the same stuff, cost the same, but some of that money goes to us instead of Jeff Bezos. So if you're going to use Amazon, steal some money from them and give it to us instead by using the link at GUIpodcast.com.
Yeah, don't have a Voight, all right?
Yeah, right?
I mean, real world.
Yeah, I mean,
Voight.
Real world. Yeah.
Real world Voight, yeah.
I know for a fact, without any reason to know, that Jeff Bezos definitely stood on top of a building and masturbated over a city before. Like, that's
it is kind of ironic to talk sort of shit about Amazon, and the show we're talking about is on their
Amazon. Yeah.
Like, thanks to people buying so much shit, they went, let's make a fucking streaming site and let's make shit like The Boys. So I guess kind of still buy some shit.
Which city did Bezos jerk off to? Or jerk on to.
Jerk upon.
Which city did the Bezos jerk upon?
Probably Seattle, because he fucked over Seattle probably more than most cities.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he could go for something where it's like a power move, or something's like, oh, you're weaker than me, like Baltimore or something.
He like yelling cuck at people on the street as he's jacking off on Baltimore.
Charm City, my dick.
No, it's San Diego, right?
What?
Jacking it. Where's it? San Francisco. From South Park.
Oh, God.
Jacking it.
I mean, you can jack it in San Fran or San Diego and still be pretty good.
You can
good
really
to go.
Jack it in.
Yeah. I mean, really.
Topeka, Kansas,
decidedly less jacking in Topeka, Kansas.
They don't have as high-rise buildings.
You're on like a third floor.
Yeah, the third floor of a paper mill.
It's a little more awkward because people throw shit at you while you're jacking it, so.
Amazon.com.
Yeah.
We jacked our prices.
Oh, no, they did.
Oh.
So the best way to really sponsor us, or to take care of us monetarily, is to also spread the word at the same time, and that's by going to TeePublic.
Boom.
It's not just t-shirts. You've got buttons, stickers, magnets, laptop covers, baby onesies, fucking...
Hold on, my new one, tote bags. I said on Mouse Madness, I'm pushing tote bags. Get some motherfucking tote bags with our logos on it. God damn it.
We've given away tote bags even for like Punk for Presents.
Yeah, they're fucking tote bags.
Yeah, they're great.
I use it for everything.
This is my first time on the show, but I can tell you for a fact, my sister's Christmas present last year, TeePublic.
Nice.
It was one of my favorite gifts. I gave.
All right.
It. There's so much fun shit on TeePublic, and I checked actually earlier today because the Halloween designs are coming soon.
Yeah.
Without the Halloween designs, we are at 47 designs on the website.
Oh, man.
And that's pre the seasonal designs dropping. So,
no shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got to be a 2.5 pages worth of scrolling.
It's about 2 full pages at this point.
Damn,
right. That we're
at 2 pages of scrolling?
Yeah.
No shit.
That's how many designs we have available. Inside jokes from different shows, logos from the different shows. All sorts of weird and wonderful designs. Out of those 47 designs, I guarantee at least one of them is going to be charming enough that you're going to want it on something, whether it be a button, sticker, t-shirt,
what
have you. And they are on sale all the time. So if you don't see it on sale, wait a few days. I don't mind making a little bit less if you're getting a more affordable item from TeePublic. So keep an eye out for those sales.
Seriously, there's sales all the time.
Yeah, all the time. And that's the best way to sponsor us, because you're spreading the word, the fucking, the book GUI.
Yes, yes.
Which, like, with a Live, Laugh, Love, Human Centipede t-shirt.
But you love that design so much.
I love it so much. And but at the same time, you're also giving us a few bucks to keep this going. So, TeePublic. And that's our sponsor. So let's get into the real inspiration for this show, and that is the booze that we imbibe. Well, discussing some of our favorite stuff. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
We're drinking.
I was waiting.
I grabbed the wrong one. Oh. But
so, we're drinking.
Getting drunk.
Get drunk.
Yeah. Drinking.
So we've got a lot of... Oh, man, this is going to pull us into like early days off the rails second half here. First off, Tori, if you are nice enough to send us through what you are sending down our throats, I guess.
Oh, yes.
What you're blasting us in the face with.
Yes, yes, yes. So I made a little shooter for everyone, and it's called Compound V. It is a white rum and blue curacao and pineapple juice.
Okay. So, no, that's doable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, and I just called it Compound V. Like, I mean, it's already kind of a recipe, but I was like, well, it's blue, and blue curacao is gross, so you have to add some kind of juice to it.
Well, the plus side is that, you know, you're blasting us in the face with this Compound V shooter, but it's got pineapple in it, so if we blast somebody in the face later, it's actually going to taste better.
Exactly. Yes, 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 exactly. Yes, yes.
Yeah. So it's helpful all the way around.
There you go.
Exactly.
Not bad, actually. This is very doable for a shooter.
Yeah. Also got a little James E. Pepper 1776 rye, because it's 100 proof, because we're not pussies, and this is America. And that's very on brand for Soldier Boy, Homelander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the like. And tell me that fucking Carl Urban is not drinking some fucking whiskey.
Oh. Maybe not American whiskey, but he's drinking something.
Oh, he's drinking.
I think whatever get his hands on, honestly.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Now, Jesse, you brought a little tasty share for us as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. Brought the Bingo Patio vibes. It's a Grisette ale, but it's kind of got like that. It's, you know, light, low ABV, nice summer ale, something you can chill with. But it's got a really nice flavor profile. I think it's got a lot of spice to it, like it's a saison, but not all like overly spicy.
I needed to take a couple sips because I just had the rye, so
yeah, like, somehow it's like I can't taste anything else right now.
No, but that is super sessionable. It's got a little heft on the back, a little bit, but not like in an overpowering way. That this is definitely pool party.
Yeah,
booze,
yeah, it's
right
got,
here.
Yeah, it's like I can't tell if it's this like cardamom or something on the back.
Yeah, there's something happening there.
Not to overcomplicate it. It's a very tasty outdoor beverage.
What's the ABV on this, by
it's
the
like
way?
4.5.
Oh, okay. So this is definitely, not going to knock your dick in the dirt too hard.
You can probably do outdoor activities.
Yeah, you're not going to pass out in the pool.
Yeah. This perfect for frolfing, Frisbee golf.
Okay.
Yeah. Or
thank you for explaining that.
Any kind of kiddie pool parties that you're doing. it's Shark Week, so some of you out there I know are doing like pool parties and watching Jaws on your projector screen, which
that's really fuck smart. Yeah.
Oh man, I want to do that so fucking bad.
Or Deep Blue Sea. I mean, you know, whatever.
Deep Blue Sea, 47 meters down.
I just bought that for $3.
You know what? Fuck it. Soul Surfer. I don't give a fuck. If it's shark related, you're good to go.
Oh my gosh. I love this idea.
Yeah. I was trying to pull it together this year, but I came up with the idea like too late in the season. So we weren't able to pull it together. So
dang.
Hopefully in the future, we'll do some Jaws pool parties for Shark Week. Cause yeah.
Fuck yes.
Dig me some Shark Week. Mm-hmm. But speaking of the sea, Amy and I were fortunate enough to try the Sly Clyde Cider Works ciders at a pool party recently this weekend. Ooh. And this is the straight up fresh apple hard cider. This is from Hampton.
Oh, Hampton.
It's tarty.
Whoa. Yeah.
It's got the tart. That's the best way I can describe it.
Tart. And this is a submersive hard cider. It's got a octopus on the on the cover, which is the inspiration for the
so hot.
So hot.
Fuck. Look at the top of that design.
Jesus Christ.
That scene, it reminded me of there's a
you're gonna have to blur this shit out. Oh, it's so fucking hot. That was one of those, definitely the boys can get away with it. And you're like, yeah, this makes sense for the show. Yeah.
Mm. I feel like almost like when Starlight walked in on him, it's like, she's just like, this is the fucking guy. This fucking guy.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus. She's like
you got pushed out of the team. I never thought I'd see you again. And here I am walking you.
I need the hysterical moment of like,
and you're fucking an octopus.
Who is better, Deep? Who is better?
Oh no!
But
oh, no.
Also, when Starlight,
I mean, maybe the wife. The wife,
The wife. Yeah,
she was very jealous of that octopus.
I also feel there's a part of Starlight's face when she saw it. She walked in on that. She's just kind of like, oh man. We're just like, yeah, of course, like he would do this. He's a guy.
Yeah, where the level of surprise is only to a certain degree.
Exactly,
exactly. I feel that. Yeah, definitely.
The fact that, like, Soldier Boy called Homelander a pussy, like, that really should have been directed at the Deep. Because, like, the entire season, he's just so, like...
Like, I hate to use the term cuck, but, like...
I mean, he ate the little octopus.
And that's what I was going to say, is that's how much Homelander was like, I'm going to fuck with you. I'm going to fucking make you eat. And you can, like, imagine eating something while it's screaming. And that's what he put Deep through.
I saw a meme where there was another octopus visiting, I think it was Thomas's grave, and it was like an octopus grave underwater.
Oh,
with, like, octopus kids.
Or Port-a-John.
Yeah. Oh, God.
He has kids. What are you doing? He's like, just fucking eat it. Just eat it.
So yeah, submersive from Sly Clyde.
Oh, yeah.
No, this is actually really good. It's a little dry, but it's not like puckering dry.
Yeah.
8.7% alcohol. Oh, so yeah, this is a bomb for a cider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't taste, it's not alcohol
at
all.
It does not taste like 8.7.
No, this is dangerous cider right here. Very good. Mm-hmm. I will definitely be getting this again. I really enjoyed the other flavors of Sly Clyde that I've tried as well. But yeah, 8.7%. Fuck. But yeah, that's the shares. And back into the Deep.
Oh my gosh.
The moment where also, didn't Homelander see him with the octopus around his dick as well at Herogasm?
Who is he one to talk about sexual fetishes, though?
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like he didn't really care.
But could you make an argument that the Deep is maybe the least likable character in this season, even over Homelander? Like, he might be the least likable character.
No, I feel like he, in this season, I feel like Homelander is definitely more unlikable, only because the Deep is so a non-event. Like, there's no threat to him.
No, yeah, that's a really good point.
And he's so desperate.
He's desperate and sad. Like, there's a level of feeling bad for him that kind of slices that, like, hate a little bit for me.
What was interesting was that scene at the talk show where he was actually like he was kind of billed above Homelander, and he was like, what the fuck is happening? And then he submitted to it, and then after then like he kind of actually had like the freedom and the stardom for a second, and then he just, I don't know, like after that whole late night talk show scene, just kind of submitted to him for the rest of the season.
Sure.
It's really weird.
to me, the least likable character was the stepfather. And we'll get to that. But like, I just had to like interject like that. Fuck that guy.
Also, how? I mean, like,
how?
Like you've got your ex-husband is mother's milk that is basically made out of a brick shit house. Like, it's not a person that is a brick shit house. Like, they took a literal brick shit house and they made a person, and that is mother's milk. Like, he is.
And like, what is this wife? What is the wife doing that she doesn't know that he's like taking her to like basically like Trump rallies and all this like fucking crazy shit. And he's just like,
but she thinks it's harmless. But it, no, I mean,
like, I understand this is a like fantasy world that we're living in where heroes exist and stuff. But like, she definitely wouldn't be with like a Trumper type.
Yeah, it's really strange.
It's a very weird pairing.
There's plenty of white guys that you can be with that aren't him.
And not even like the hyper apologetic hipster anti-racist, because right. that's another level of like not great.
Sure.
I mean, just the normal like level is great.
I feel like Mother's Milk's ex-wife she kind of still has this like kind of coloring book version of like what the superheroes are, or maybe so it's like maybe that's why she's like, oh, Homelander, he's just, you know, he's a good guy. Like
she was married to Mother's Milk. I'm pretty sure he shared the story where like his whole family was brutally murdered by heroes.
But did he though? Like I felt like they alluded like he was like really secretive about it.
I think he was a little bit secretive, but you also could think that because he fucking disappears over and over again, you know, when they're wanted by everybody, that after a while she's like, I don't want to run into that situation again. I'm going to marry the most
polar
opposite motherfucker of somebody. And guess what? True. That dude is the complete opposite of Mother's Milk. So, because you know what? That dude's not going to go in hiding because he helped fucking murder a couple superheroes.
And though I will say, from my experience and also conversations I've had with other people, there are people, they align with whatever political profile their partner has. Maybe that's the case in this situation where because she was so kind of frustrated with the level of fanaticism that Mother's Milk had, she kind of stayed out of it.
Yeah, maybe. There's a lot of unbelievable shit, and it's like,
that's the unbelievable thing.
I think the one thing that kind of raked me, was bothering me a little bit, was Mother's Milk obsession with taking out Soldier Boy with a gun. And like, and you're like, dude, that's just going to give him like a slight headache. Like he didn't have any form of like plan besides, I'm going to try to kill him. It's like, no, you try and he would just murder the shit out of you. So everybody that stops him is actually saving Mother's Milk's life, because if Soldier Boy actually feels threatened, he could kill him fucking easy as shit. So,
I mean, Butcher did that at the Hero Gathering.
And that's what I'm saying. Like
Butcher was like, dude.
I kind of thought, oh, is Mother's Milk going to be like, the only way to kill this motherfucker is me take V. I thought that's where they might be leaning, but no, he just keeps trying to shoot him with a gun.
Well, I was like, that's, like, I understood why, like, he was, like, Mother's Milk was angry at everybody for taking the V, but, like, I also understood why they were taking the V. They were like, look, we kind of know this isn't the morally best thing to do, but it's just, like, this has a means to an end. It's not like we're just doing this for fun.
But that's always been a problem in stories of power, where people end up doing the thing that they're fighting against in order to maintain control. It's like, and you talk about even fucking guns, where you need guns to fight against people having guns. Like,
you got to be the good guy with the gun.
Yeah, exactly. But which is a fucking, it's a falsehood at best, the idea of like a good guy with a gun. So, you know, it's the idea that absolute power corrupts absolutely, is that people will do whatever it takes. It's the same thing as people that are hyper anti-abortion. Oh, but this one doesn't count. You know, you hear so many stories of conservatives that their daughter or their their mistress or whoever. No, but that's different. You know, it's the same kind of idea.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I think Huey was like on that borderline, because like he was like loving, he had that power struggle like the whole time, and then eventually he realized like, oh fuck, like, you know, he kind of went back to normal. But Butcher's just like so far gone. Well,
I mean, Huey's never been the badass, and like he's always had somebody kind of protecting him. So when he has these powers, he has the ability to not like hide, but actually do shit. And I think that he kind of got off on that. Like, I'm not like waiting for someone to save me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they did this in the comics or not, but you know, because it, but I felt like they did a good job where he got these powers and he could do all this stuff, but like, even though he had these powers, his insecurities were still intact. Like, he still had all the same insecurities. It was almost like nothing had changed. He was kind of like, hey, you got what you wanted, but you're still kind of the same, so maybe just appreciate what you got.
Plus, he probably was kind of like, say, fuck it, when, you know, he really thought he was, they were being successful when he was working for the senator.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're making a fucking difference. Like, we're doing it. And then, like, oh, wait, she also, she's responsible for murdering so many motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, I'm working for the bad guy, too. Yeah.
To be fair, and I know we touched on it, like, you know, even, like, the good guys are corrupt or whatever, too, like, referring to her, but it's just, like, when she, like, popped all those heads in, like, Congress, it's like, it was a bunch of old white people. It wasn't really, like,
okay, when she said that line, I was like, oh, fuck, yeah. that was the one moment where I gave her a little bit of credence, like, is it really that bad? I'm like, no, it's not really that bad.
I'm sure she popped some heads that were like, okay, like, you shouldn't have done that.
Like, but yeah, a bunch of people that daydreamed like... about, like, killing me and because of the color of my skin or something. And I'm like, no, I mean, she, that is a good point. I'm starting to, like.
Like, if AOC popped Mitch McConnell's head, I would be like, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, like.
That would be one of those moments, like, when Homelander, like, kills that one dude where everybody would be like, ah, I mean.
he was about to attack her, right? I mean.
He's a snapping turtle.
Turtle.
He was coming for her.
I was about to say, you gotta be careful with them turtles.
You gotta be careful with them turtles. No, they're. fuck. it is one of those that it does discuss the idea that, you know, power corrupts people. And mm-hmm. so when. You have somebody that is super powered, there really isn't a way for them to be able to have that power without it changing their viewpoint on the world. Even Butcher and Huey, when mm-hmm. they have powers, their approach to things changes entirely mm-hmm. after they started using V, to the point where even Butcher knows that he's going to fucking die if he does V again. And he's like, yeah, I'm still gonna do this shit.
That's not bad. What's bad is him not fucking telling Huey about it.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Just let's go do our mission.
I mean, he did stop him. And
eventually.
It does seem like Huey's going to be okay. But yeah, Butcher's like on his deathbed pretty much. So it's kind of like,
I do like the kind of power move that kind of went under the radar with the deep taking out that, you know, the vice president or who was going to be the vice president nominee.
Oh,
and just casually there. And then, oh, who's there to take the place? And you're like, God damn. Like, just everything's moving into place the way she wants it. So
yeah exactly. And Bobby Singer, president.
Jesus,
that's a Supernatural reference. Idiot. Sorry.
I do want to dig into a little bit. We didn't talk a whole lot about the A-Train storyline, and I wanted to kind of like take a little sidestep and talk about that a little bit, because speaking of, you know, bringing up really important cultural conversations, the idea that there's this, like, one of the very few, very public, very popular, top tier black heroes that is trying to find a way to represent that while still being a corporate tool, and the two just do not meet up at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very interesting journey to see A-Train go on, where he's trying to reconnect with his family and his upbringing. At the same time of not having to compromise his hero-dom. It was
I felt like one of the reasons it was so hard for him to do and go on that journey was just because, like, he had just been in that bubble ecosystem of Vought for so long. Like, he didn't know how to, like, reconnect with it until, like, he was kind of losing his steam a little bit. Like, he almost, like, had to get knocked down a bunch of pegs in order for him to want to reconnect.
I think he thought he could make a difference and realized the only difference he can make is what Vought will allow him to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you make a difference? Well, you know, you can do these motivational movies. And you can, oh, no, don't go to your old neighborhood. Do these movies and things that we want to sell this idea, but not, we don't actually fucking care about this idea.
Yeah.
So, again, because, like, Jesse and I haven't read the comics, and, like, we have been, like, obsessing over this theory. We haven't heard anyone, like, talking about it. But, like, when he's in the hospital and they're like, oh, we gave you Blue Hawk's heart, blah, blah, blah. We're like, I mean, he, like, smashed him on the road pretty good. Was his heart still intact enough?
Well, I mean, in the comics, A-Train's white. So,
it's not really
a conversation. It's not just, like A Train in the comics is just like fighting for you know for minorities.
Racial justice. Yeah.
No, A Train is just this self-important piece of shit. In the comics.
I mean, what do you guys think? Like, because he pretty much smeared him. It's like I pretty much thought, and it was face down. So I was like, I pretty much thought that part of his body was like
gone. Cheese grater, practically.
Cheese grater. Like, do you think like the heart was still intact and that the chest
might have still been intact.
If you look at the
costume,
he was holding his head down. So his head was getting most of the brunt. Yeah. And also if his superhero suit had any level of chest protection, then he might have been okay. So there might have been some additional padding there or something.
I think we were trying to make it into a whole thing like, oh, they were just lying to him to manipulate him more and make him believe.
We'll take that heart out if you don't listen to us.
Well, I guess they did, but I mean, like, maybe, I don't know.
Try to convince him, no, you're racist now, so it should be fine. Like, yeah. You should align with our ideals.
Now you're half racist. You do know that, right? When we put that heart in there, so you're a quarter racist, I guess.
Okay, so Vought owns everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
The level of fucking trust they have for their marketing team is fucking incredible because they're like, yeah, let's pull a Nazi in. We'll just rebrand and name it after a site that Nazis use. It's fine. And, you know, like, yeah, and then we got Homelander, who's a fucking, like, a bomb.
Wannabe fascist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's put him in the forefront, make him the biggest, most important fucking hero. Like, they are leaning on their marketing team so fucking hard the entire time with no fucks to be given at all. No support, no attaboys at all.
I will say, like, I wanted A-Train to, like, redeem himself so much because he had so many glimmers of hope. And then, like, when I thought he was on Starlight's side, but really he stabbed her in the back.
Oh,
and, like,
that was wrenching.
And boy, Band Hero got killed and, like, all this stuff. Like, yeah, but I just, like, really am like, God, he's, like, so close. He's so close. The deep is gone. Like,
can we just say Starlight's way the fuck too trusting? Like,
yeah, I know.
She's gotten several people killed.
It's that Christian
thing. Just literally, yeah, just keeps trusting people. And then, oh, yeah, this person's dead pretty much because of you. I mean, like, she needs to keep her shit, like, secret.
Let that be a lesson to you, listeners. Don't believe in Jesus because you'll be a pushover. That's the lesson.
That's the more you know
of this episode here.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to get letters.
Oh, God. I'm still kind of upset how quickly they killed off Black Noir. Just when you think about, like, the scene, the first episode of season two, when he goes in there and takes out the terrorist group, pretty fucking badass. And then he just, like, I understand the motivation on Homelander's part, but I wanted kind of a little more of a fight than just that.
Yeah, like, I had this really big gut feeling once we started actually seeing some character development in Noir, or just like some origin story. It was a lot of Noir in like a really short period of time. I'm like,
I felt like they were gonna take him out, but like so simplistic, like not anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's just like once you see like the guy in the war movie, and he's like talking about when I get home, I'm gonna have this. I'm gonna open my business.
Here's my girl's picture.
Like,
she's just waiting for me.
Yeah, the minute I'm just like, I've always loved you. And when we're done with this, then we're gonna get a farm.
We're gonna
raise our children together. Yeah.
I was like, the second I saw the cartoon characters really helping Noir's like narrative,
you tell him. Yeah.
I was like, damn, I felt really bad.
Don't worry, we're gonna get out of here.
I just love this season. Literally had like incestual Wonder Twins as characters in their like late era where they're wearing like silk bathrobes and hosting orgies and shit. Which I was like, if you are unfamiliar with the comics, Herogasm is one of the most renowned like story arcs in the comics where there's literally a
it's just a drug fuck party of.
It's like a hotel that all the heroes go to. It's like a private island that the heroes go to like let loose. But this is also written in like 2003, where like cell phones and social media isn't nearly as apparent. So the idea of them having a private island with a hotel
can exist. Yeah.
Whereas modern day, no chance in fucking hell. So I did understand that. Translation.
I know Seth Rogen was like just so excited about that giant penis like falling, and he's just like, make it floppier. Like, I could see him just like freaking
and
out.
The love sausage showed up in the asylum in season two. He was actually a Russian hero in the comic books, but it, what he did, he didn't, he had a big dick, but that wasn't his power. And he didn't have a prehensile dick.
It was his pretty powerful.
That wasn't the only thing, I think, is what was going on.
But the
there.
Fact that, like, they finally called him the love sausage in season three, I was very happy about.
In the comics, the whole origins of Herogasm is actually really more fucked up, because it's pretty much if, like, you know, the Avengers are like, yeah, we've been checking out some of the, you know, younger members of the other superhero teams, and we really want to fuck them. Let's make an event where it's okay for pretty much Iron Man to fuck Kitty Pryde. Like, I'm just throwing out those kind of scenarios where it's more depraved, and these superhero groups all join, like, we want to fuck one time a year.
Squirrel Girl's getting railed out by Thunderbolts.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's getting...
And railing off of, you know, Miss Marvel's tits. I mean, it's really fucked up.
I could just say, like, because we were watching it, and it was just like, okay, I've been hyped up about this. Like, even Jensen Ackles made a post being like, tomorrow's Herogasm, good luck.
They hyped the shit out of it.
They hyped the shit out of it. So we were expecting a lot. And I was like, okay, it's not as bad. It wasn't
when you
as,
start
like,
with season one with somebody exploding a dick from inside, like...
My favorite parts of that episode is how, like, every random character was just like, oh, Frenchie's gonna be so mad he missed this.
Which drugs and orgies.
By the way, like, he said something about Frenchie, like, I feel like Frenchie's entire story arc through this season
was
its own fucking series.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they were to do like a Better Call Saul type of thing, I honestly feel like they could make a whole nother series just about Frenchie.
Well, Frenchie and the girl as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is kind of crazy is that through the entire series, she's just been like, I hate these powers. This makes me this monster. I hate these powers. And then she loses her powers. And then she's threatened and she kills. And then she's like, oh, wait, I think I actually like killing and I need the powers for that. And like this arc that you wouldn't really see going that direction.
She realizes that so much of her identity is wrapped up in these powers at this point that like to lose them, she loses a sense of herself to a degree.
Well, it's like I honestly feel like she genuinely kind of doesn't want the powers. But because it helps her protect the people she cares about, I think that's all it comes down to.
Yeah.
But we are at the tail end here. I mean, obviously, we could talk for a lot longer on this show. But we have some scenes to be reading here. So if you want to pull out your phones, and I'm going to pull up the music for this part here.
Making a drunken scene.
Jesse's like, what the fuck? So we have two scenes here. One is from, I think, the last episode of the season, and one is from Herogasm. So one is with Soldier Boy and Billy Butcher, and one is with Soldier Boy and Huey.
I'd like to do one of the Soldier Boys, but it doesn't matter which one.
I would also like to do one of the Soldier Boys.
Okay, so if you guys want to fight each other to the death, I think, for which Soldier Boy you want to do.
I don't care.
So, like, I don't know if the listeners know, but Jesse is actually my husband, so I would love to do a scene
with
you,
babe. What a twist! What a twist!
Oh, my God.
Can I have a ride home?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so I think it depends on you, Jesse. Which one do you want to do, Huey? You want to do Billy?
I feel like I give off a Huey vibe.
There's literally no Billy here.
Y'all seem like a Billy.
No, yeah.
I'll do Billy Butcher. That's fine.
Okay, great. So we'll do Soldier Huey.
All right.
So Hunter, you're going to be Soldier Boy in the first one, and I'm going to be Billy Butcher, and then you two are going to be on the second one.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So starting with the first one.
All right. What the fuck are you doing?
Not the kid.
Oh, I thought you said blood didn't matter. Thought that was the whole fucking point.
He's my wife's son.
Wait, Homelander? Fucked your wife? And you wanted to save the brat? The hell's wrong with you?
I made a promise.
So this is it? Everything you wanted, he's right fucking there. And now you blink.
Stand down.
Fuck you. You're weaker than he is. And the Super Friends.
Yay. Woo! Great job. Great job, everybody.
God.
And that's fucking, that's cut on that one. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, good luck following that shit. Mic drop. All right, so here we go. Soldier Boy and Huey Campbell.
Whenever she's drinking up. She's getting really into a character.
Sammy. Okay, wrong show. Okay. You good? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do men really walk around like that?
Yeah, I mean, dads do.
Okay, well, Bill Cosby's America's dad, and I tell you one thing, he wouldn't be caught dead in that pussy gear.
Lot to unpack there.
The Cos, that's a real man. Holy shit, did he make some strong drinks.
Holy fucking shit.
But seriously, what passes as a man today? Christ on a cross?
Holy shit. The Bill Cosby reference fucking ruined my life.
Yeah. That's... makes a hell of a drink.
Gee, like, yeah, oh. Cool, great, awesome.
I was so tempted to say the Cass instead of the Cos, but...
Which, what that's suggesting is that Bill Cosby fucked Soldier Boy.
Yeah. Actually,
no.
Yeah,
I didn't even think.
Yeah,
about that.
That's what that's suggesting.
Like
yeah.
A pudding pop. Yep.
Oh. Oh no.
Oh no, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Jesus
so
Christ.
That's where we're leaving you on this episode. Geeks of the Influence. So glad you can follow through for this entire episode. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends. If you want to share. Any of our social media stuff to your friends, say, hey, this is a great show that I love. This episode's great. They talk about how Bill Cosby fucked Soldier Boy. Great. Yeah.
American style.
That's the best way to spread the love for us. We appreciate it so much. And make sure to rate, review, subscribe. Follow the other shows at GYPodcast.com, and we'll find you next time for another other... Yeah. Oh, man, Nights is going to be rad.
Oh, yeah.
We'll find you next time for another episode. I'm Mike the Hobbit. Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Yeah.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul.
GUIPodcast.com.
But like, if you haven't been blasted in the face with a bunch of cum,